Good morning. I'd like to get personal here this morning as I welcome you to this gathering of our Bridge family. I'd like to get real personal. Let me ask you, what are you thinking about right this second? I want you to think about what you're thinking about. Now I'd like you to think about what you were thinking about. In fact, I'd like you to think about two of your most memorable memories. I'd like you to think about your favorite memory and then your worst memory. You see, we're going to press into God's Word and learn about what we need to remember. So I'm asking you, what is the favorite thing you've ever remembered? And what have you most loathed, hated remembering? And where and how do those play a part of your life right now? You see, friends, we're going to press in to Psalm 119, verse 49, and we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say about yours and my remembering. We're going to take a biblical look at biblical remembering today. Now, we're in the context of a sermon series entitled Perspective. We're walking through Psalm 119, literally verse by verse. Today, you're going to see word by word. And we're doing this being reminded that we need to remember what God and His Word have really said. We need to remember the fullness of God's Word, God's will, and God's way. Now, in this Psalm 119, we've learned already that it's a poetic prayer. It's a poetic prayer that's going to teach us, but most of the teaching is going to come through the touching of our hearts. Today, I pray that that will be exemplified. For you see, as we get ready to go in to this verse that begins with the word remember, I want to pray with you. And as you'll see, this is a big part of what we need to remember. We're going to need to remember to pray and obey and repeat. We're going to need to pray every day. We're going to need to pray to the one true living God. Now, part of this time together today, it's going to be a little different, but I pray it will bless you, and I pray that God will use His Word to build you as we remember together. Let me share the verse with you from which our text, one word, will come. It's Psalm 119, verse 49. We will focus on the first word in this verse. It is the word remember. The verse itself goes on to say, remember your word to your servant. Now, that's just the first half of the verse. We'll stop there. I think it's enough. Because here you see God in His Word sharing with us this verse that says, remember your word to your servant. Well, friends, before we get into any further, any more of this, I hope that you already have heard something. God's Word is reminding us to remember in the context of prayer. As we pray, we, like the psalmist, need to remember. Now, have you picked up on the fact that the psalmist is telling the Lord to remember? I pray that you will see today's big idea. That the timeless truth that you will take away is that God wants you to remember who and what you should never, ever forget. God wants you to remember who and what you should never, ever forget. And sidebar, He wants you to forget what you should never, ever remember. We won't go there today, but pick up with me God's Word. Hear the God of the Word saying in the Word of God, remember. Now, this is a prayer, And it's starting with the word remember. So I'd like to contextualize our time right here by bringing you back a number of years when we focused on what we need to remember about prayer. I shared with you and will now again help you to remember 7 barriers to prayer. This is essential if we're going to take this word of God in. It is essential that we remember those things that will hinder our prayer life. Watch this, and then we'll come back and we'll press deeper in to this scripture. God's word says this in James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because, get this, you ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. When we go to God and we look at Him like a vending machine because we want, gimme, 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 or we want because it'll make us look better or feel better, anything that is personally motivated, we're told in God's word that that will stop it because selfish purposes rob prayers of power. I brought the balloons with me today because they represent symbolically our prayers. Filled with hope, ready to be lifted up, always bringing a sign of joy. Well, I want you to know from God's word that if you bring with your prayers the wrong motives, you can kiss that one goodbye. Not going anywhere. Second thing that'll hinder our prayers is sin. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says this, God's word says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor, hear this, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your sins have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. What sins are hiding in your life? If you're holding sin in your life, say goodbye to that prayer. Number 3, how about the hindrance of idols? You cannot hold both God and idols and expect God to be listening to your prayers. You say, well, what's an idol, Pastor Jeff? An idol is anything that takes the place of God, anything that is the supreme object of your affection. Take a look at your calendar. Take a look at your bank account. Take a look at your relationships. Everything and everyone else must be subordinate to Christ in your life. I can't repackage that. That's what God's word says. That's what Jesus said. If you're not willing to pick up your cross daily and follow me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. That's not a church guy. That's the Christ. What are we putting in front of him? Because whatever it is, I promise you, it's blocking your prayers. Let's go to number 4. Because you need to understand that if you have a hard heart, if you have a hard heart towards others, you will not get an audience with the King. Your prayers will not be responded to. Listen to what Proverbs 21:13 says. He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. God's word, God speaking. Are you willing to love the unlovely? If the answer is no, you have blockaded your prayers to God. Again, I say to you, if you have ever found yourself saying, God, why won't you answer me? The reality is, most of the time, we are our own worst enemies because we are doing the very things that God's word tells us will stop our prayers. If you're holding on to anything in the form of unforgiveness, you're just hurting yourself. That's a big one. And
And I don't have to be able to see into your heart to know. That might be the biggest one of all. Is the bitterness that you want to hold on to worthy of being cut off from God? Let it go. Ask God to help you. Let it go. Ask God to give you the strength to forgive as one who has been forgiven. Number six, and this one's tough. Husbands, wives, if you're not getting along with each other, if you're not treating one another right, your prayers are stopped dead in their tracks. Listen to 1 Peter 3:7. God's word says this: "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Gentlemen, we're to love our wives the way Christ loved the church, and when we don't, our prayers are stopped. Ladies, it is not direct, but it is implied. This is a two-way street. Number seven, the grand finale. God's word says this in James 1:5-7. If you don't believe God's word, all of it, as it is written, in its context, your prayers will not reach heaven. God's word says this: "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man, the man who doubts, ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord." I forgot Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver. And anybody who does not believe. Now let me again stretch beyond the comfort zone. You say, "Well, I believe." Once again, I ask you to check your answer, not by what your lips tell, but what your life lives. If we live lukewarm, we live in unbelief. And unbelief is sin. That sin will clog, stop, drop dead our prayer lives.
Amen. I pray that your prayer life is now going to be strengthened as you remember what God has taught us about the barriers to our prayer life. Let me go back to my initial question about your memories, what you remember. Let me encourage you as we press in that your best and your worst memories, I want you to know that heaven will be far greater than anything you've ever remembered. And I want to warn you that hell will be far worse than any nightmare you've already lived through. But notice this. Again, it's a word of encouragement and exhortation. Not only will heaven be better than anything that you've already remembered, and not only will hell be worse than anything you've already experienced, but I thank God that both heaven and hell will eclipse, will literally take away the other memories. What I mean by that is heaven will eclipse and take away your worst memory. Amen. Once you're in heaven, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more memories of those things that grieve you today. Amen. And I exhort and warn you, if you end up in hell, nothing that you've experienced here in the form of positive will last. Hell will eclipse and take away any favorable memories. Take that to heart, friends. And let us press in now. Again, the scripture for today is one word: remember. I've only done a sermon on one word one other time that I can recall, and it was when we closed out the book of Acts. It was the word unhindered. They really go well together today, and I pray that you'll see that you want to remember to live unhindered. You want to remember who and what God wants you to never, ever forget. with that understood, I'd like to walk through this today using an approach that most of us are comfortable with and familiar with. Shortly, I want to walk through, succinctly, I want to walk through the who, what, where, when, why, and how of biblical remembering. I want us to literally remember as we cry out to Christ, that we remember the who we are to remember, the what we are to remember, who, what, the where we remember, the when we remember, the why we remember, and perhaps most helpful, the how we are to remember. So I want to ask you to walk with me today, prayerfully walk with me through God's word. Even though it's just a short stint in the walk, it's a deep, deep dive into God's truth and love. So with that said, let me begin with what I pray will be a help to you. It's a reminder of what God has said in terms of remembering. This verse is literally on our dining room wall at home. It's large, and it's there because it's designed to help us to remember. It's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. And I want to share it with you through the New Living Translation's approach. Hear the word of God. This is about remembering. The word says, watch out, watch out. Be careful to never forget. Be careful to never forget. Remember what you yourself have seen. Remember, don't forget what you yourself have seen. Watch out, be careful. Do not forget. Remember what you yourself have seen. Do not let these memories escape you. Don't let it escape your mind. As long as you live, don't let it escape your mind. And be sure to pass on what you remember to your children and your grandchildren. That's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. That's the living God speaking to you and me. I pray that serves as an umbrella for our time together today, as you remember to remember who and what God wants you to never, ever forget. Amen. Well, let's press in. Who are we to remember? This has a vertical and a horizontal answer. Who we are to remember is both vertical and horizontal in the answer. The obvious of the vertical is we are to remember the one true living God. We are to remember the God of the Bible. We are to remember the God who is creator. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we are to remember the God who is Christ, creator Christ. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We are to remember the one true living God. I'll share more about that here in just a little bit. But know this, friends, Jesus is Lord. Remember the who on the vertical and point upward. At the same time, remember on the vertical, there is a downward. You're to remember the enemies of your soul. Satan himself, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for souls to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Remember, he's got minions and workers as well that come like him disguised as an angel of light. He's got workers in the church, false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing. Acts 20:29, Matthew 7:15. Know this, friends, that you and I are to remember vertically up to heaven and vertically down to hell. We are to remember the reality of all that Christ is and all that he has done in victory. And we are to remember with a sober reality all that Satan is and all that he represents with his venom. Now, there's also the horizontal. We remember not just the vertical, but we also remember the horizontal. And in the horizontal, we remember outside the family of God, and we remember inside the family of God. When we remember the who, we remember the lost. We remember those who are locked up. we remember the least of these. These are all direct commands from our Lord Jesus. He says to remember the lost, the locked up, the prisoners, and remember the least of these, those who are most frequently forgotten about. He also tells us to remember in the family of God. We're to remember the sheep, the brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to remember the stumblers, those who are struggling and having a hard time, who need to be called back to repent and be restored. We're to remember the sheep, the stumblers, and we're to remember the shepherds. Now, I'm going to ask you to take this to heart because on a personal level, as a pastor, as an under-shepherd, on behalf of our elder team, the other under-shepherds, I want to ask you to please remember us and remember us in your prayer life. Remember to love and pray for us and pray without barriers so that your prayers will be effective. In fact, I want to again remind you and share with you this request to pray for those of us who are in the under-shepherding role. This world today, it is worse than it has ever been. And we who lead and feed the family of God, we need your prayers. Remember us. Remember this Bridge family. And I pray, be blessed as you are a blessing to us.
Pray for us because of who we are and what we do. Hear me. Pray for us. Please pray for us because of who we are as leaders and what we do as leaders. Now, first point, who are we? Get ready. We need your prayer because we are world-soaked people. We live in the swamp of a fallen world, and it is closing in on us all the time. We need your prayers to get through this world. We are also fleshly sinners. We desperately need your prayers because we are still in a human flesh and we are sinners saved by grace. And it's not a one and done deal when it comes to sanctification. I fight battles every single day. I need your prayers. We're also devil fighters and we take it to offense. And we need your prayers as we go on behalf of the Lord and our family sometimes to go lock horns with the evil one and his minions. We need your prayers because of who we are. We're your brothers. We are human. We need help. And your key critical component is to love us and pray for us. And hear me here. What you expect from your leaders is what God expects from you. Love us. Pray for us. Help us. I said to you for who we are, sinners, and for what we do. Let me just give you, and I'm going to open up the fire hose here on purpose. Go back to the notes, I pray. Print these out. Keep them someplace close and pray through this list. For your leaders. What do? We lead God's people. And when we don't, they falter. We feed God's sheep. And when we don't, they risk starvation. We protect God's people. And when we don't, they risk being destroyed by the enemies. We prepare God's people. And if we don't, they go out ill-prepared to battle. We engage the lost. If we don't, nobody will sometimes. We explain to the new lovers of God what they need to understand. If we don't, they can be bewildered. We literally will equip the new learners. And if we don't, they flounder. We empower the leaders. If we don't, they get stagnant. We exemplify, I pray, the lifers who are demonstrating a model worth following for Christ. We inform people. If they don't hear, they may be ignorant. We inspect people. If we don't, you get spoiled brats that run around with their temper tantrums and their pity parties. We inspire the people of God to lead the charge so that it isn't always human dependent on the individual that is there. We go as apostles, sent ones, and lead the way. We proclaim like prophets and say, "Thus says the Lord," because people need to hear. We extend out further than most as the evangelists that teach people how to go. We love sacrificially like the shepherds, and we teach the details that are in the truth of God's word. We are overseers, we are overflowers, and we are overcomers. And if any of those flounder, there's a problem. We cast vision, we carry authority, and ultimately we charge the gates of hell as the leaders of certain families. We need your prayer. We are salt, we are light, we are missionaries. Each one of us, we're worshipers, we're workers, we're witnesses, no matter what. We need your prayers. We're ambassadors. We're the aroma of Christ. We are the army's leaders for our Lord. We run the race that has been set before us. We fight the good fight that's before us. And we do our level best to live a life worthy of the gospel, all as leaders to set standards, to inspire following, to lead a people home to heaven one day. That's what we do, in part. And we are constantly under attack in a spiritual realm. We desperately need your prayers.
Amen. We desperately need your prayers. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart, those of you who are remembering us in servant leadership. So the who, now let's take a look at the what. What are we to remember? Well, friends, I want you to know that there is theology and Christology that you need to remember. We have put this down in what I call the flow, to remember that there is one divine design, a biblical worldview. Remember that you need to take this into the wholeness of your person, your head, your heart, and your hands. Remember that there are five types of people in the world. That's it. The lost, the baby lovers, the growing learners, the spiritual leaders, and those in the church that are the lifers who multiply multipliers to the glory of God. There are seven details. I also call them the fundamentals, need to be understood. The foundation of God's word, God's will, and God's way. The framework that we've just described, the five different types of people in the world. The facts that lay out history and explain the facts from creation to the coming back of Christ one day. The reality of the fight that every single person that has ever been alive is going through every day. The spiritual war that is the fight. The faith, which we know of as the gospel that we all need a miracle because we're dead in our sins. That miracle only comes through the one true Messiah, Jesus the Christ. And where and when that faith in that Messiah brought by that miracle takes hold, then a miracle leads to a mission. And every born-again believer becomes that missionary that lives for Christ. We do that with a fighting that goes on through the spiritual development of muscles, heart muscles, through disciplines, 12 disciplines that we will live. And then there'll be a lifestyle that is very distinctive. We call it the 24 distinctives. I want to encourage you, press in to our comeandseechristianity.com website. And these tools of truth and love will help you. They will show you what needs to be remembered in terms of theology and Christology. Remember, it's God's truth and God's love that we need to remember, that he is the creator, he is the sustainer, he is the definer and the refiner of all things good, all things truth. He is the answer to all confusion and deception. He is the answer, capital A, his name is Jesus, to all manipulation, all hate, all evil. We need to remember his truth and his love. We need to remember biblical history and biblical prophecy. Remember who you are and where you came from. And remember, no matter who you are, there's only two options of where you will spend eternity. Remember this. Remember God's principles and God's particulars. Remember the principles that call us to be tenacious compatibilists. Tenacious compatibilists. It means that we believe all of God's word and we don't allow any of it to be minimized or marginalized, per 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And in terms of his particulars, his priorities, I want you to embrace the reality. We need to remember that there is a hierarchical ethic that comes with God and His Word, that where and when He gives us two truths, they are not always equal in terms of their order. Some will have a higher ranking than another. Last week, I shared with you as an example, you're called to be both compassionate to the lost and you're called to rest and treat your body as a temple. Now, those are two truths. What you need to do is make sure that you're putting them in their proper place and order, that we pray and obey. If God has called you to push through a lack of rest to be compassionate, then amen. Obey and go. And if God has called you to a time of rest when others think that you should be more compassionate, again, pray and obey and then repeat. If God's calling you to rest, then rest and know that He has somebody else that will fill that compassionate role that you might otherwise feel drawn to. You need to pray and obey and repeat, understanding God's principles and God's particulars. We see this over and over and over again through the scriptures. Let me give you another example. You need to remember Christ's sacrifice and Christ's standards. You're called, I'm called, we are called to remember Christ's sacrifice and Christ's standards. Now, what does that look like? Well, it looks like Holy Communion. It looks like us doing exactly what Jesus said. What are we to remember? Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. The what is communion at times. And we do it so that, as you'll see, that we can remember Him and what He's done. We're to remember who He is and what He has done. We're to remember who we are by grace for glory through the truth of the gospel. I want to share with you, as the elements are being distributed, I want to share with you just a few minute review, a reminder, a help to remember who our God is, so that while we take communion, while we remember what Christ has done, you'll have a view of the true living God. Watch this while the elements are being distributed. Listen and learn. Be reminded that you'll remember. And then we'll come back and we'll take communion together. Now, if you're not a Christian, please let the elements pass. This time is only for biblical believers. And if you are a Christian and you have sin in your heart, you need to repent. Get right before the Lord before you take this communion. That's what the Bible teaches. And if you are harboring sin against a brother or sister, again, let the elements pass. You need to get right with your brother or sister before you would come and take communion. But again, be reminded that you'll remember our living God, and then we'll come back and we'll share together.
What are the attributes of God? We're going to answer that question. The Bible tells us what God is and isn't like. Without it, any attempt to understand God would just be an opinion. Only what God has chosen to reveal of Himself can be known. One of God's qualities is light, meaning that He is self-revealing with information about Himself. The fact that God has revealed knowledge of Himself should not be ignored. Creation, the Bible, and the person of Jesus Christ will help us to know what God is like. Let's start by understanding that God is our creator, and we, His art, are created in His image. Man was given dominion over all creation, and by considering its vastness, complexity, beauty, and order, we can have a sense of the awesomeness of God. The names of God help us to see more of His greatness. Elohim, Strong One, Divine. Adonai, Lord, indicating a master to servant relationship. El Elyon, Most High, the Strongest One. El Roy, the Strong One who sees. El Shaddai, Almighty God. El Olam, Everlasting God. Yahweh, Lord, I Am, meaning the eternal, self-existent God. God had no beginning, and His existence will never end. He is immortal and infinite. God is unchanging, making Him reliable and trustworthy. God is incomparable, unequaled, and perfect. God is inscrutable, unfathomable, and beyond comprehension. God is just, incapable of favoritism. God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful, but his actions will always match the rest of his character. God is present everywhere, but this does not mean that God is everything. God is omniscient, knowing the past, present, and future, including our thoughts. Therefore, his justice will always be administered fairly. God is one and is worthy of our worship and devotion. It is because of God's righteousness and justice that in order for our sins to be forgiven, Jesus had to experience God's wrath when our sins were placed upon him. God is sovereign, meaning he is supreme. God is spirit, meaning he is invisible. God is a trinity. He is three in one, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. God is truth. God is holy, separated from all moral defilement and hostile toward it. God sees all evil and it angers him. God is gracious and his grace includes his goodness, kindness, mercy, and love. If it were not for God's grace, his holiness would exclude us from his presence. Since God is an infinite being, no human can fully answer this God-sized question. But through God's word, we can understand much about who God is and what he is like. That answers the question, what are the attributes of God? Research this question further on our website, gotquestions.org.
Again, I say amen. We serve the one true living God. He is truly awesome. I pray as you think about the attributes and the breathtaking reality that is our God, that it will bring you to a remembering of communion that is in line with the right respect and reverence for Jesus the Christ. I want you to take the bread now as we together, we pray and ask the Lord to forgive us and to refresh us, to remind us that we will remember what he did on the cross, that this bread represents his broken body on the cross, that we would be reminded that he died, that we could live. I want you to take the bread in this heartfelt remembering together and let us eat of it. And now, in the same way, if you would take the juice that symbolically represents the blood of the Lamb that was spilled on purpose to bring to us a purity that we could be as white as snow because his blood has cleansed every Christian miraculously by the mercy of our God. If this is you, in remembering what Christ did and how he alone and his blood alone could clean you, Christian, I ask you now, remembering him, to take the juice. Let us do it together and drink of it. Lord, may you be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Friends, I pray as we think about who we remember, what we remember, where we remember. Where? In the micro sense, we remember personally, in our head, our heart, and in our hands, the wholeness of our body. In the macro sense, we remember locally, regionally, and globally. It's really that simple. We're to remember here, there, and everywhere. We're to remember him. We're to remember his truth and his love. When do we remember? We remember 24/7, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We're to remember when? We remember in the good times and we remember in the bad times. And I want you to remember how important it is that you remember. And think about it this way. In the good times, how important was it that Adam and Eve remember in the Garden of Eden? Now, they didn't, and all hell literally broke loose. The fall has happened because Adam and Eve, in the midst of the best of times, literally, the Garden of Eden doesn't get any better than that until we get to heaven. They needed to remember, and they didn't. Think about it, not just in the good times, but what about in the bad times? We need to remember in the bad times. Think about the disciples with Jesus during the stormy sea as they're crossing the Sea of Galilee. They needed to remember that Jesus said, we're going to the other side. They needed to remember that while the storm was raging, the Savior was sleeping. They didn't. And when Jesus woke up and saw that they no longer believed, he rebuked them because they didn't remember who he is and the power he has and who they are in the midst of their faithful obedience. Friend, I pray that you'll remember all the time, whether you're being applauded or persecuted, that you'll remember the truth and love of Christ all the time, no matter what. The who, the what, the where, the when. How about the why? Why are we to remember all this truth from God's word? Ultimately, we remember for the glory of God. We remember because we want to spread his gospel. We remember for the growth of his family in his graces. We remember because this is where and how we bring God glory. We celebrate his grace. We grow his family. I want you to think about this. It's absolutely essential. Remembering is absolutely essential for saving and sanctifying, for knowing and growing, for praying and obeying, for repenting and repeating, for learning and discerning, for hearing and for heeding, for preaching and for teaching. Again, remembering is absolutely essential for plowing and for planting, for inviting and informing, for inspecting and inspiring, for transforming and for transferring. Remembering is absolutely essential for respecting and representing, for winning and for worshiping, for walking and for working, for warring and for witnessing. It's absolutely essential that we remember if you're going to be gospeling and glowing. It's essential that you remember if you're going to be loving and living in and for Christ. Remember, we are to remember because Christ created us to remember. He's commanded us to remember, and he's commissioned us to remember. This is who we are as the church, friend. I pray, as we look at the last of the components, how are we to remember? I pray that you will see and you will remember that we are to remember biblically. We're to remember prayerfully, authentically, missionally. We're to remember by staying between the guardrails of God's word and being guided by God's Spirit. We're to remember while remaining in the full armor of God. We're to remember by living out his fruit of the Spirit. We do this miraculously and missionally. We remember truthfully and lovingly. We remember rightly and righteously. We remember sacrificially and wisely, strongly and courageously, boldly and humbly, shrewdly and innocently, authentically and compassionately, strategically and tactically, urgently and passionately, I pray. Remember, friends, we're to live this remembering in a way that we looked at the close of the book of Acts. If you were with us 6 years ago, we closed the book of Acts, that other one-word sermon. The word that we focused on at the end is unhindered, akalutos in the Greek. And I asked the church at that time, what do you want? How much or how badly do you want it? And then what's holding you back? I want you to remember all that Christ wants you to know. Remember all of who he is and what he has said and what he has done. Remember everything that he doesn't want you to ever forget. He wants you and me to live for the eternal, to live unhindered in a way that I pray will bless you and bless others. Watch this, and I pray be reminded again on how to remember to the glory of God. So what, hindered or unhindered, is an eternal matter. Jesus said, you are either for me or against me. You are either helping me to gather or you are scattering. You are either all in or you are all out.
Now, if you're in the midst of a stumble, then I say to you, brother and sister, repent and come back. But don't come back to mediocrity. Come back to all in. Do not jerk Jesus around. You are either all in or all out. If you're in a stumble, cry out to Jesus. Repent and return to akalutos. And if you've never been there before, then cross the line for the first time and come into the family of God. Now, what are you unhindered from? The better question is, what are you hindered to? What do you need to become unhindered from? Now, some will say here, well, this is obviously about being set free. Well, guess what? Good news. You're set free the minute you are filled with the Spirit. This is not being physically set free. It's not physically unhindered, although that may be an issue. And I'll tell you how I know that, because during these 2 years that we're looking at, Paul wrote 2 letters, one to the Ephesians, in which he refers to himself as an ambassador in chains. He's still hindered to a Roman guard, and yet he's on mission. Amen. He's linked to a Roman guard under arrest, and he's writing letters out, and he's welcoming the world in. He also said in Colossians 4, 3 and 4, I'm in chains. So please understand this. When we talk about being unhindered, it's not a physical, it's a spiritual. Whatever has its grip on you, whatever boot is across your throat, whatever is hindering you is a spiritual issue in a physical realm. So let me ask you, are you being hindered right now? And here's the good news. What follows may convict you, but know this. The conviction is so that you can be set free. Gospel it. Give it to Jesus. Whatever is hindering you is smaller than what Christ offers you in the saving relationship that comes when you surrender to victory through the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. I wonder, might you today be hindered by the world, the flesh, and/or the devil? Are you being hindered by a sin that you know has been in your closet for a long, long time? Are you being hindered by some form of unbelief? Are you being hindered by idols? Whatever is hindering you is an idol. See, here's the thing. I asked you, what do you want? What you want is what you worship. And it's what you work for. So you show me what you're working for, and I'll show you what you worship. What you want, you get. So when you've got a sprinkling of Jesus, you've got a little bit of doing church in your life, but you're not being church, you're not surrendered to him, guess what? That means you don't want him. Because you can have all the Jesus you want. He died to make that so. He said, you can have all of me you want. I've paid the price. I've opened the door. I've empowered your ability to come get some. If you don't feel like we're close, it's because you're drifting. You've been unhindered if you are, so that you can walk with the King, that you can help grow his glory and glorifiers. You and I have been given this gift so that the world will look and say, that's a peculiar people. They're living on purpose with passion. Passion. Is this you? I pray to God that it is. See, I like Luke 8:39. It's the portrait of the Gerasene demoniac. This is the man that's filled with demons that Jesus comes up on. And he heals him. See, if you see yourself as one of these demoniacs that has been radically saved, then you'll radically live. You don't think that you've been radically saved, you won't radically live. You think that you got a little cleanup, you'll offer a little contribution. You think that you would have made it anyway, then you'll haggle and negotiate with God. You think that what you have was pretty much earned by you, then you'll treat it like it's yours. Know that all that you have and all that you are from him and blood bought, and you'll live like that. I ask you, what do you want? How much do you want it? Will you live unhindered? Will you live unhindered? Will you join me and be Acts 29? Will you and I carry the torch and continue the story? Not of the cultural church, but of the biblical church. It's a personal question. So I come back to where I began. What do you want? How much do you want it? and what's holding you back. Not from partial, but from all in unhindered living. Do not bring your hindered offering to the Lord. He's made it very clear. He wants your best, your first fruits, your best. Hear me, I'm not calling for perfection. Some will say, well, he says if you're not perfect, don't bother. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you bring him all you got, or you wait and repent until you're willing to do so. Because bringing him a blemished lamb, bringing him your table scraps, bringing him what you think ought to be good enough means that you think you're God and that the God who gave the standards doesn't need to be listened to. I call you with all boldness, unapologetically, to live unhindered. As Paul did his best to bring to the world a message and a methodology and a missional life that reflected Jesus, I'm doing the same to you. And I'm saying to you that nothing less is acceptable. Deal with it. Get right with Jesus. Give him everything you have. He gave you all of him. And he has set no other standard. If you are not willing to pick up your cross daily and follow him, you cannot be his disciples. Not my words. Those are his. That's what unhindered living looks like. And lest anyone forget Acts 1:8, we've been given the power to do that. We've been given the power not just so that we can do it, we've been given the power expressly for that singular purpose.
Amen. That's 6 years ago, but it's just as true today. And I pray that you sense it's every bit as much the passion of my heart this day as it was then. Friends, I pray that Akalutos would represent who you are, that you'll begin to remember to take the living God more seriously, that you'll remember to stop taking him for granted, that you'll remember who it is that you're dealing with, or better stated, who it is that's dealing with you, that you'll remember who it is that you're talking to, or again, better stated, who it is that's talking to you. If you're pushing away and you're resisting this, I pray that you'll remember who it is that you're judging. And again, better stated, who it is that will judge you. Friend, I pray that you'll remember your eternity. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't remember your eternity now, I fear for you. It's a holy, faithful fear. I fear for you. If you don't remember your eternity now, I fear that this is the moment that will torturously come back to you forever and ever and ever in your time in hell. You'll remember then how you rejected remembering now. I want to ask you finally, friends, to remember. To cry out to Jesus, to cry out to Jesus, to ask him to give you the grace, the miracle that will allow you to repent and to believe. I want to encourage you to faithfully obey, to repent, believe, abide, and obey, pray and repeat again and again and again. Let this be the hallmark of your life. Let your life be one that shows the world that you remember. You remember who Christ is. You remember what he said and what he told us to do and to remember. You remember the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and the how. That you will truly be the church. You'll live unhindered. That you'll be one who takes to heart Deuteronomy 4:9, that you literally will watch out. You'll beware, you'll be careful to remember and not forget what you yourself have seen and know, and that you'll bring this to your children and to your grandchildren, to the lost, to the locked up, and to the least of these, and that you'll encourage and inspire the brothers and sisters in the family of God. That you'll convict if need be and call back the stumblers from the family. And I pray that you'll encourage love and pray for the shepherds. I pray that we will be that unhindered family, that we will remember everything that God wants us to never, ever forget. I pray that we will be this family that brings God glory, that we remember how privileged we are to do so, that will champion His grace and will remember the responsibility that we have in doing so, and that we'll be living trophies on the mantle of the gospel of Jesus the Christ, and that we'll remember that none of us belong here, that it's all by God's grace, it's Him and Him alone, and that we will live unhindered, and that we will be the family, and we'll have the macro understanding that sends us out to the world, and we'll have the micro understanding that keeps us humble and ever loving and thankful to our Lord. I'm going to leave you with one more reminder to help you to remember, and then two songs that I think bring this all together. I want you to watch this and then remember to be all that Christ has created, commanded, and commissioned you to be. May we remember to be the church no matter what.
I want to close our time together today asking you to be unhindered, lovingly letting you know that there's no other option for those that will be with Jesus in heaven. I want to know if you want to be this church. I want to know, as the pastor and the under shepherd of this church, if you want to be the Acts 1:8 church. You see, if you don't, I have nothing to offer you. If you don't want to be what you claim to see, I can't help you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That's why you will always hear the Word of God. That's why the gospel will always be proclaimed. But at the end of the day, I have to ask you, what do you want? And those of you that say, I want Jesus. I want to be what I see. I say, amen. Amen. And let us be used of God humbly and yet boldly, so that locally, regionally, and globally, our witness will lead to the worship of our King who died for us so that we could live for Him. I pray that the book of Acts, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, alive in the people of God, has quickened and awakened your soul. Amen. That you would say, I want to be the church. How much? All the much, whatever it takes. And what's holding me back? It was me, I have to be honest. And now I'm repenting. And by the grace of God, in a daily fight, I will surrender to victory and I will cleave to Him every minute of every day, so that the answer to what's holding me back is nothing. Jesus the Christ has set me free, and now I bring Him to the world so that the world will give Him glory. It might look something like what I'm about to show you. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to let this song be the exclamation mark on the book of Acts. And I pray the chambers of your heart. Lord Jesus, let this song preach to us, I pray. Let it inform us, inspect us, and inspire us, that we would be the people who are committed to bringing you glory and more glorifiers, recognizing that it's only through your gospel and it's always by grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We will come to face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous,
Savior's love.